The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Breaking news overnight. There's been an incident outside the Parliament in Great Britain, the Parliament building. We know that a vehicle has crashed into a barrier. I've seen a variety of different news stories, and from what I've seen in the press so far, nobody knows precisely what it is. I've seen that it was an accident. I haven't seen where it was a terrorist act in any sorts. We know that there were a few people that were hurt in it, and somebody
and the driver was arrested.
Right.
This happened about 90 minutes ago, and according to the Metropolitan Police there in the UK, and their official website just basically describes what you just told us, and that is about 90 minutes ago, a car was in a collision with barriers outside the Houses of Parliament. The male driver of the car, no further details, was arrested by officers at the scene. A number of pedestrians have been injured, and they're awaiting their condition. However, officers do not believe that anyone is in a life-threatening condition in terms of the victims here. And so there's a pretty tight security, in fact, in that area, as that alert will likely continue for several hours as they try and look into a motive, if any, if this was just simply an accident or if this was deliberate. But the fact that they arrested a man tells me that it might be deliberate. We just don't know anything else about the person or what their motive would have been if it was indeed deliberate.
The FBI fired Peter Strzok yesterday. We've gone over that a little bit, but I wanted to play some audio here, and this is from Rudy Giuliani on with Sean Hannity last night on Fox News. And I want to play this because he makes some specific allegations. And let's get to this part of the interview here.
Let me start with Mueller. How is this case impacted? Because Strzok is at the heart of all of it. He claims.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's played a much bigger role in this than a lot of the media wants to admit. I mean, first of all, he was there at the very beginning. He wrote all the initial documents justifying this investigation. He ran it for 11 months. He conducted the critical interview of Flynn with the very strange situation where Flynn pled guilty to a lie that the FBI said he wasn't guilty of. Go figure that out. He's the one who was carrying the dossier and using the dossier to justify the FISA wires. That has to be all unraveled. There's no doubt that there are four false affidavits filed with the FISA court.
Fraud.
Lying in an affidavit to the FISA court.
I wanted to stop it there because that is a huge accusation.
That's pretty massive.
Because one of the things that we've always asked is that in the FISA application, how was it justified? And we haven't been able to see the justification of the dossier, and that because you just don't give the information, you have to justify the information.
Yes.
Now, what Giuliani is claiming, and because he said the, I know Sean Hannity said it first, but he said it false, and he said fraud. He goes, yes, fraud. Well, that is then at that point, and he made clear, a specific crime.
Which was the question we were asking all along. Did anyone in any position of authority lie to the FISA courts in petitioning for that FISA warrant? Knowingly use false information to petition the court for that warrant. That's essentially what Giuliani
just
saying.
Right. I've never heard Gowdy say that yet or even Nunes say it yet.
No.
And not surprised that it would come from the president's attorney, but it's the first time that that accusation has been thrown out, which is why I think it's important news, because that is new news, because we haven't heard that before. Nobody has stated that they believe that it was fraud that was committed. Okay, let's play a little bit more of this interview between Rudy Giuliani and Sean Hannity.
The guy responsible for those was largely struck. He gathered the evidence, non-evidence. The dossier is absurd.
It's a political document, totally ridiculous.
It says Russian document. It says provably false things, like Cohen was in Prague. He wasn't in Prague. It says that there were real estate deals with the Russians. There were no real estate deals with the Russians. It has Trump.
Hooker's in the bed. Where was my?
Yeah. He was with. They have evidence. He was with hookers in a bed.
Debunked.
Yeah, debunked. Completely debunked. Got the dates all wrong. It's a cut and paste job by a down and out ex spy, English spy, who hated Trump.
Hated.
And was paid.
By Hillary Clinton
and the DNC.
But they spread this information, Mr. Mayor.
The document,
to lie to the American people, too, and lie to the court.
And the Justice Department, the Trump Justice Department, is hiding those affidavits on the grounds that the affidavits contain national security information. Well, my goodness, here are the things we need to know about it. Was the fact that Hillary Clinton and the DNC, the people who paid for this, was that pointed out to the judge?
Right.
Because if it wasn't, you got a glaring omission.
Well, we know that so far it shows it was not, correct?
Right.
From what we know so far, no, it was not pointed out. So he's stating in any of the other documents, the affidavits, was it pointed out? It wasn't in the FISA application.
Right.
So, okay, let's continue then.
Was it pointed out that Steele, during the course of this, was fired by the FBI? What were his problems in his background exposed to the judge? I mean, when you present this guy, was he presented as a fully reliable informant, or were the questions, you have to do that in an affidavit. I wrote many of these affidavits.
They never told the court in these applications that Hillary paid for it. They purposely withheld that information.
Well, that would have been a non-starter.
But they never verified any of the information in there.
So
anyway.
Here's the point. Strzok created a false document. When we say, is there any evidence that his bias led to action that he took against Trump? Yeah. He perjured himself in an affidavit in order to start his insurance policy investigation.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's something that we have all thought and asked that question. Giuliani, and of course, I know what people are, the first response would be, but he's defending Trump. He may be defending Trump, but a lot of others have asked that question, that was there fraud? Did they knowingly submit that information in the FISA warrant? And one of the things is the 302 is another justification that, as Giuliani pointed out, that would justify the actual FISA warrant has not been released because they say it will violate national security.
Right.
And that's why you have Devin Nunes saying to Trump, you need to let this all out. We need to see the transparency, because if you see the transparency of everything that went on here, and then not even talking about the whole Bruce Orr thing. And coming up in a little bit, we'll play more of the interview where he even throws a little bit of another bombshell out there, but it's a bombshell. He talks about John Brennan. He says John Brennan is the person behind all of this.
Right.
Now, that question was actually asked, and I said before Molly Hemingway from The Federalist, it was Kimberly Strassel,
yes,
from The Wall Street Journal that also brought that up, that we discussed what was Brennan's role, and it really highlighted a couple of weeks ago when Brennan was so livid, and we said, we think you protest too much, mm-hmm, for not being actually supposedly involved in this. And, you know, Strassel at that time talked about, you know, the questions of how involved was Brennan in this. And Giuliani makes that flat out accusation, which means eventually all of this has to be investigated, does it not?
I would think.
You would think.
You know, the position of authority by Giuliani at this point, just being the president's personal attorney, doesn't really have the right to pursue anything. But the calling out of Brennan repeatedly. Wall Street Journal is not some small newspaper. It is Kimberly Strassel's work here and pointing there, and this was July 19th, that she published, the Wall Street Journal published this article about Brennan by Kimberly Strassel. That was pretty monumental, and we pointed it out then. You talk about raising eyebrows. Because what you and I had noticed is that, I mean, it was over the top, you know, this outrage and protest by Brennan. But then also the comments that he was making about the FBI, remember,
right,
as former CIA director, and while they certainly worked together, he talked as if he had some ownership in it. And he was talking, of course, to the friendly media, you know, CNN and others. So I don't know if he just felt relaxed enough to open up on something like that or why that would be. But it was a strange tone and an odd choice of words along the way.
You know, we have criticized Giuliani for being terrible in some of these interviews. Mm-hmm. I thought last night was... Because, look, if you're going to be on there, you...
Get straight to the point.
You get straight to the point. As a personal defense lawyer for the president, you tell what you think is going on, following, you know, having knowledge of the entire situation and connecting the dots to defend your defendant, who is the president.
Yeah.
And he did that, and he brought up questions that everyone is asking out there, but made them statements.
Right.
Not questions.
And that becomes a very serious accusation, which I think
which then warrant a response from some Democrats out there, Adam Schiff or whomever. Is it true? Because now he's made the accusation. It was fraud. They knowingly. And he's basically saying Strzok knowingly and others put forth what they knew was false information that wasn't verified, and that makes it fraud to the FISA court.
Yes.
And that in itself is a crime.
Yep.
We'll get to a little bit more of the interview coming up here because of the Brennan stuff that I want to make sure that we let people hear. That and more all on the way, plus your calls and comments, 866-90-RED-EYE.
As the temperature rises, so does the importance of tire maintenance and inspections. Tire replacements are the number one roadside repair request during the summer. And underinflation is the number one cause of hot weather tire failures. As a tire rolls down an already hot surface, its sidewall flexes, causing a buildup of excessive heat and increasing your risk of an accident or breakdown. The key to staying on the road this summer is proper tire inflation. You can help avoid tire breakdowns by conducting pre-trip inspections to ensure that your tires are properly inflated. Investing in a quality tire gauge will save you money in the long run and will allow you to check your inflation levels before each trip.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. The accusation that Giuliani is making is that Strzok and others committed perjury on the affidavits to get the FISA warrant. So,
right.
And here's part of that conversation with another part, the last part of the conversation with Sean Hannity from last night.
But more seriously, when we talk about Strzok and Comey and McCabe and Page and all these other people in the FBI and the DOJ at the highest levels, do you see crimes?
Oh, absolutely. I just told you one. The perjury on the affidavit. I was telling you about Hillary crimes a year before Comey outlined them all. I'm pretty good at picking out crimes.
How did she get off scot-free in all this?
She got off because it was a fixed investigation, a totally phony fixed investigation.
And she's still being indicted?
Run by Peter Strzok, who then turns around. The dossier is obtained on the day that they dropped the case against Trump, against Hillary. So that case gets dropped, and they have to even up the score.
The next day.
And go after Trump the next day. Now, the reality is, I'm going to tell you, and we don't have the time to go into it. We can do it later. I'm going to tell you who orchestrated the quarterback for all this. It isn't just Strzok. He's a bit of a puppet. Then there's Mueller. He's a puppet. People working for him are, some of them are really.
I have a funny feeling you're about to drop a bomb on me. Go ahead.
The guy running it is Brennan. And he should be in front of a grand jury.
Is Brennan.
Brennan.
Former CIA director.
Brennan took an affidavit, a dossier. That if, unless,
to Harry Reid.
Unless he's the biggest idiot intelligence agent that ever existed, although he never really did much intelligence work, it's false. You can look at it and laugh at it. He peddled it to Harry Reid.
Immediately.
That led to the request for the investigation. So he takes a false affidavit, a false dossier. He gets the senators involved and a couple of Republican senators. And they demand an investigation. Totally phony investigation. Now, why can't we get an investigation when there are clear facts showing possible violations of the law? Even in the order appointing Mueller, which is completely illegitimate, they don't point out any crime. You have to point out a crime under the independent counsel regulations. They don't.
So there you go. I mean, and we've talked about that before. That there's supposed to be a crime and there's never been an alleged crime.
Right.
And the interesting thing is because we know all that stuff about Brennan, about the dossier and all that. What we've always wondered is, does Brennan lead to the unmasking?
Well, because you ask yourself the question and the comment that was made, gosh, months ago by Trey Gowdy, who said that behind closed doors in testimony, Samantha Power said, former UN ambassador, said that she was not doing all of those unmaskings. Remember, they were done apparently with her credentials.
Right.
But she was saying, no, that wasn't me. Well, what that told us, and again, we haven't heard much of anything since Trey Gowdy made that statement. But if that's accurate and true, then that means somebody was using her credentials. I mean, you have to ask yourself why a UN ambassador would be unmasking a number of people.
In the Trump campaign.
In the Trump campaign.
And dozens and dozens, hundreds, is what we have heard.
So how would that happen? And why, again, would Samantha Power be involved in something like that? Then if you ask yourself, okay, who would be able to use someone else's credentials in order to pull that off? Well, it would have to be somebody in a very unique position of power. Could that be the former CIA director? Could that be a number of people who would get access if they were indeed acting as a team, which it seems they were? Because that's how all of this is coming together. You know, when you talk about Bruce Orr, his wife worked at Fusion GPS. He was the associate deputy attorney general. And that is a big, big deal. You know, you have right now, you have so much that's documented that puts everything together for what the left did here, and still no one is able to identify one crime,
and that's why
on Trump or anyone in his campaign related to the election.
And one of our criticisms of Giuliani was they weren't focused enough of, you know, being specific on their attack. Last night he was.
Yes.
And you need to do that in order to get
very
the opposition
deliberate.
To
yes.
respond back to you, so we get closer to the American public as to what the truth is. Through all of this. And that's what I want. I want the truth. I want transparency.
Right.
I want things to classified. I want to know what happened here. I do want to know whether a current administration, through any type of illegal means, attempted to spy on the opposition candidate or the opposition candidate, and then the opposition incumbent.
Right, yeah.
or candidate-elect. Candidate-elect.
Right.
Exactly.
Yep.
scare people. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Good morning. Thanks for being here. We got an interesting conversation this morning on the new polls out there that Democrats now favor socialism over capitalism, and had some interesting discussion on it. Do they actually know what socialism is, or do they actually know what free stuff is, and they believe that's what socialism is, getting free stuff? That the payment of socialism is something that they do not recognize,
right,
and don't wish to recognize, because when you are obsessed with envy, jealousy, and victimization, as a modern socialist is, that's what they promote in order to sell the socialism, that you're not really thinking about the back end of socialism, which is the reality of socialism.
Yes.
Which is the regulation of your life, the regulation of the limitation of your choices, the running of the system and your basic needs through a monopoly. Those things aren't really thought of because envy and jealousy leads everything.
Right.
Let's go to David in Winchester, Virginia. David, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Great show. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
I just want to make the point, from my viewpoint, that I believe you're right about the bulk of the Democrats are kind of useful dupes. They buy what's being sold to them because they want free stuff. But I believe the leadership wants to destroy Western civilization and capitalism, and they're using socialism to get that power to do that. So you made the comment earlier that you didn't believe anybody bought into socialism. I believe that the leadership does buy it, and they're using that as a tool to destroy America as we know it.
Well, look, there may be some avowed socialists out there. You can't look at the history of the world and believe that socialism works. You may believe that socialism is a tool or the promotion of free stuff, which leads to socialism, is a tool to keep your political party in power. But socialism slash communism, the actual believers of it are the people that believe they will be at the top rung of it, that they will control it.
That's right. But they also believe that everybody else did not implement it correctly. They, with their superior intellect.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. That's exactly, that's basically,
well, yes, I've heard that before.
You know, as Gary will say, you know, it's the hold my beer. I'll get this socialism thing done for you. That's the whole idea, is that they want you to believe that, because in order to protect against those critical thinkers, and there might be a few among the group that show up to your rally, they'll say, you know, they need you to believe that, oh, they were just doing it wrong, which is why they're trying to attach the word democratic to socialism.
Right.
You know, oh, no. It's going to be like, a fusion. See, it's going to be a fusion of the two.
Hybrid.
It'll be a hybrid version of socialism and all the great things we have here in America. And I think, David, it's probably safe to say that a number of politicians think that they can get the power and maintain the power. Which is why I keep saying they believed that they had won the White House forever. They believed that Democrats had won power forever. And then, of course, 2 years into his first term, Barack Obama found out that that was not the case. But they had believed that because, you know, they had promised all of these things. He said it out loud at some point. I believe you've made enough money. Told business owners, you didn't build that. And we had to stop them and say, well, actually, not only did they build that, their business, but they also built those bridges and roads that lead to their business that you say the government built, because that's from the people and the private sector, which funds everything, including the building of the roads and bridges, and all this insanity that was going on then was this calm insanity, right? It was this, well, President Obama could get away even in his last days as president. You know, race is a social construct. If Donald Trump, and thank you for the call, if Donald Trump ever said that out loud, that race is a social construct, it would be never ending headlines, and it would go on and on and on about, look how stupid this guy is. But Barack Obama says it, and of course, you must listen because, well, he has spoken. Well, and that's this entire sell. The back and forth is about selling you on something that sounds very noble in its packaging to you. But when you learn and you actually do just a little bit of history on true socialism and what socialism the only thing that it can be, then you quickly realize that it has failed societies time and time again for a reason.
Yeah, so I can't tell you how many people actually believe that socialism works in the Democrat Party. I can't tell you how many people believe it works or believe that, you know, actually believe, well, we can do it in a Democrat socialist way, mm-hmm. or just believe, look, it's the only thing that we can sell. We've got nothing else. We got to sell free stuff.
Right.
And so we got to use the word socialism, but we'll use Democrat socialism, whatever, to sell it. But let's put it this way. Who in the last 2 weeks have said that socialism doesn't work?
Maduro
in Venezuela. So he knows it doesn't work, but does he want to retain his power?
Yeah.
Yes. So
he's basically saying our system doesn't work.
Many of the great socialist communist leaders in the Soviet Union understood their system didn't work.
Yeah, they knew.
And eventually had to go. They knew inside of it. So there may be some that actually do it, but for the most part, they want to do it. And I'll give you another example. Even people that are not and don't view themselves as socialist whatsoever. But right now we live in a country that is living under the fantasy and the delusion that in our representative government, in our constitutional republic, that we can borrow as much as we want and we never have to pay the bill.
Right.
That debt isn't a problem. We've talked about that earlier. That is a delusion. Yet we that believe in a constitutional republic still believe in some fantasies. Mm-hmm. The debt's not a problem. Oh, right. We can handle it. Oh, just don't think about it. Now, do we actually believe that debt isn't a problem that will eventually come back to bite us? Yeah, but we don't want to think about it. Same with a lot of these people attempting to sell socialism. They're not selling the whole concept of socialism. They're selling, we wish to be in political power. We'll just ignore the rest of it.
And when I say that I think that, going along with what the caller was saying about, you know, people wanting you to believe that they can do socialism differently and make it work.
Oh, man.
That's part of the sell. Because there is no, Bernie knows. He wants to offer a promise he can't possibly deliver. That's part of it. That's actually part of the appeal. But he needs you to believe that he can deliver that. He needs to be the martyr for the cause in just saying that you should have more and the rich people should not have as much. I mean, that's really what he's getting out of it. He knows there's no chance ever of them implementing Medicare for all with that kind of massive hefty cost that will never end. It will only increase to the point that you're eventually going to get to rationing. You're eventually going to get to, okay, now we've run out of other people's money, and now we've got to, well, as Robert Reich said, and we played it for you earlier, we've got to let you go home. And I'm thinking it's not going to be 70. It's going to have to be, based on the cost, anyone over 40, you'll be considered old. And that's because they won't be able to afford it.
Ocasio-Cortez, on the other hand, is, what, she's 27, pretty young. Mm. If you were to ask me, and again, I'm not for sure, but just an outside observer, I'd say that she's somebody who is young. She finds that ignorance is bliss. She loves throwing out slogans details about what actually works in history don't matter to her. Studying history doesn't matter to her. She fits the perfect definition that my father always stated. You give somebody a title and they believe they've automatically got an infusion of brains. There's a sense of her, you know, being thrown up as an idol and the political idolatry that has followed her that I believe that she buys her own hype.
Yeah.
Simple. I mean, simple. Simple human characteristics that anybody can fall under, and many people do. But hers, the biggest thing for her to me is ignorance is bliss. She doesn't know how things work. She doesn't care how things work. She's just going to keep forward on that mindset of complete ignorance and the talking points that she has been given, even if liberal reporters are embarrassed to interview her because she's so ill-prepared. Because she's bad. I mean, she's really bad.
Yeah. Someone compared her. It was at CBS. Somebody wrote a piece and compared her to Sarah Palin. And if you're on the left, of course, that's about as demonizing as you can get, comparing her because they, you know, they believe Sarah Palin is stupid.
I wouldn't make that comparison because Sarah Palin was a successful governor.
Exactly. That's the first thing I thought of. Was, I'm sorry, has Miss Ocasio-Cortez ever run a state? Ever? You know, this is, you can talk political gaffes, but you can compare her to, I don't know, Joe Biden. But at least Joe Biden could get his way, could work his way through a conversation. Sarah Palin had experience as a governor. Ocasio-Cortez is a bartender who had a video go viral. That's the extent of her experience.
Well, we do need better mixologists out there, I believe.
That's true. The left may need a few more these days, actually.
I'd ask her important questions. Did you ever water drinks?
What's in a gin and tonic?
Did you ever water down drinks? What's in a gin and tonic?
See if she can get that one. We'll start slow.
Wait a minute. Ocasio-Cortez to be interviewed by John Taffer.
Oh, no. You don't want that. Look. Go debate Shapiro before you deal with Taffer.
That's right.
Don't deal with Taffer.
John Taffer from Bar Rescue wishes to interview Ocasio-Cortez. I'll give you $50,000.
That's not going to go well.
Not you, you misogynist, John Taffer.
That's not going to go well.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to John in Washington, D.C. John, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. John, you're on the radio. Hi. John is not there.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. The reason I want to go to John is because John was saying that socialism does work on a smaller scale. I think it's an important thing to bring up. And he said socialism works on a smaller scale, and he gave the example of the military and the police. No, because that's not really socialism. Socialism, and at times I fail to give the complete sentence, and it's just I assume that everybody knows. And a couple weeks ago, a guy caught me. He goes, well, you didn't finish the whole sentence. And he was right, I didn't. You know, socialism is the control of capital and the control of industry, not overall, but the beginning control of industry in order to control the means of production. Communism is the ownership of all industry and all capital and no property rights whatsoever as individual to control the means of production. But the thing that's common to both socialism and communism is the goal is to control the means of production. And that's why socialism, you'll have degrees of socialism in a society. A police force or a military force, to pay them and to have taxpayer money pay them, the goal is not to control the means of production. Any country needs a military to protect them, and a military must operate in a certain way. But it is not part of the economy. It's not viewed as a means of production. It's viewed as a means of protection. Police is law enforcement. That deals with people's rights. It deals with the government's ability to take away people's freedoms. And therefore, they are civil servants, and they are not about controlling the means of production. They're about protection. So it doesn't fly that way. So you have to understand what socialism and communism actually is, because people will say, well, it's any form of taxation whatsoever for any government service.
No.
No, it's not.
No, national defense is the number one role of the federal government, right, as outlined by the Constitution.
So if you want to see a small trial of socialism, it was Obamacare.
Yes.
And how did they sell Obamacare? They couldn't sell it by the truth. They had to lie to you that you could keep your doctor, you could keep your health care plan. And then
it was going to reduce the costs for you,
right,
every family.
Right. No. It was sold on a lie. They even had to sell that small portion of socialism on a lie.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks for being here this morning. In the news, Peter Strzok is fired by the FBI. And so if you would like to donate to his GoFundMe account, it is currently open. And last you were telling me, up to over $199,000.
Actually, we've pushed past $203,000 now. Yeah.
This is to help with his legal bills and the loss of pay since he is now unemployed.
Right. All right.
And originally it started out at $150,000, and they blew right past that. Now the goal is $350,000. The left's goal, let's make Peter Strzok a millionaire.
$1 million.
We're well on our way. It's how many? Let's see here.
And it's not even been a day.
Over 5,000 people. So 5,033 people, according to the actual GoFundMe page, have donated in 17 hours now, over $203,000. Man, I need to be a horrible FBI agent and start a GoFundMe page.
Junior, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a horrible FBI agent who doesn't follow the rules and regulations. And then I get fired and people will give me hundreds of thousands of dollars. What was the movie with Nicolas Cage?
Oh, where they won the lottery, but something happened. And
yeah, they won the lottery, but the wife got it somehow, and then New York all got together and gave them a tip. Of,
it could happen to you.
It could happen to you, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This could be Peter Strzok. It could happen to you.
It could happen to Trump. Yeah, there you have it. All right, $203,000.
Look, I'll say it again. This is the narrative of where the Democrats are going.
Sure.
Lawlessness.
Right. No borders. We don't want borders. We don't want
sanctuary cities.
We don't want customs enforcement. Yeah. Which started with that big push of erasing the borders was sanctuary city policy. We're going to give deference to even the most violent criminals that are here illegally, they will get concern and deference over our own citizens on this local level. We will not cooperate with federal agents. We will not cooperate with customs in deporting people who are here illegally, even if they're violent. That policy then became, it's exactly where we are now, very quickly became no borders. And that's what they want. No borders. None. Erase it. Send the Border Patrol home. We won't vet anybody who's coming in. Man, that's going to make it a lot easier at those international airports, right? Yeah, because no one could, Gary, no one coming to this country could possibly want to do us harm. That's never happened.
Well, you here you have an FBI agent who, and again, we look, talk to any investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to, think about it, if, you know, and we all watch the cop shows on TV. You ever see a police officer involved in a murder investigation badmouthing personally the suspect that they are investigating to everybody around them? No. Why not? Why wouldn't they do that? Why is that against any type of law enforcement policy to do something like that? Because a district attorney and a prosecutor can use that against you to show extreme prejudice that the investigating police officer had against my client in a court of law. And he would take that directly to the jury. Look at this investigator. Look what this investigator said about my client mm-hmm. that had nothing to do with whether he broke the law or not. He hated my client because of his politics. And he made it known to everybody around him that he wasn't going to let him get away with it. Not the crime, but he wasn't going to let him get away with his success.
Nope. Not going to happen.
And the fact is, you have a number of people on the left and Democrats that are celebrating and believe he should be rewarded for conduct that is reprehensible. Even if not technically breaking the law, even though Rudy Giuliani claims he did last night, which mm-hmm. we'll play coming up here in a little bit. But even if he didn't break the law, he didn't follow law enforcement policy. And we talked to enough investigators, police investigators who called and said, no, you can't do that as an investigator. You can't do that. You're not doing your job. And that now is being rewarded to Peter Strzok by many Democrats out there and many anti-Trump people. It's okay. And this is the incredible thing. It's a left out there that claims they care that law enforcement is kept in check.
Yeah.
We need to keep law enforcement in check. We need to keep law enforcement in check. Except let them do whatever they want as long as they support my candidate. When it comes to my candidate, as long as they do the right thing, and as long as I do what they want to the candidate I don't like, even if they break the rules and regulations, that's okay with me. Oh, doggone it. He got fired for breaking the rules and regulations of the FBI? Well, let's make him rich. Really, no.
Well, and you know, you said something earlier, you know, because it's not about the job. For Strzok, it wasn't about his job. He felt his job was to do what? To prop up the left, to give deference, in this case, to Hillary, to essentially help tank that entire investigation. And then to go on and what? Save America by making sure Donald Trump, well, that didn't work out that way, but trying to make sure Donald Trump didn't become president. It wasn't about doing the job. It had nothing really to do with the job. He was going to use his job and his significant power to be the hero, which he still believes he is today, which is how you get to a number of people, over 5,000 people donating in 17 hours because they believe, too, that he's the hero. That's the same mentality. His arrogance is supported by that kind of behavior of people, again, applauding him, as the media did when he was up on Capitol Hill testifying before lawmakers. It is about not what his job was supposed to be. It was about what he was going to do to stop Trump. And you saw the anger. You saw that anger still very much alive during that testimony
and,
2 years later.
And we had said that if you wanted the proof that what he did was unacceptable, it was the anger when he explained why he did against Trump. And he talked about the fact of what Trump had said about immigration. You could see the fury in it. Doesn't matter what Trump said about immigration. That's not your job.
Right.
Your job is to find out if people broke the law or did not break the law.
Right.
And what you were saying was, I hate his politics. And you could see the hate. And right there. And by the way, that was viewed by the left as a victory. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he really showed off Trey Gowdy, didn't he? Trey Gowdy had to sit back. Yeah, for our guy. No, in a court of law, Trey Gowdy as a prosecutor made his point. This guy, 2 years later, was still livid that Trump was president of the United States. Livid.
Yes.
Insane with rage that Trump was president. That's all he had to do as a prosecutor because that made his whole point right there.
Yep.
But and we were, that's funny because both you and I said it, wow, that was beautiful. And then I saw the left coming out going, oh, he just destroyed Trey Gowdy. No, he didn't.
No,
Trey Gowdy made the whole point. That he was so full of rage over Donald Trump that it did affect him.
Yeah. Well, it was just like the moment in A Few Good Men. You want him over the top because you need to show how angry, in this case, how angry he still is. Trey Gowdy sat back and let the anger fly. He knew exactly what he was doing. That was about him allowing Strzok to display that anger that is still very much in place after 2 years. Because that anger is a real motivator. If it's there now, imagine what it was 2 years ago.
Well, you know, we have said the lawlessness that exists. We read the one op-ed piece from USA Today about the one woman that columnist, whatever, and very, very progressive, very far left, who was just furious that, since Donald Trump has destroyed the presidency, we need to get rid of the presidency now.
Yeah.
Electoral college has to go. Presidency has to go.
Which means the Supreme Court has to go.
I didn't get my way, so, well, Senate would have to go, too.
Right.
So destroy the entire system. Mm-hmm. Because Trump won, it shows the United States and our Constitution is flawed. We've talked about the fact that the vast majority of people don't even know what the separation of powers is. They have no idea what the three branches of government are, which means they can't understand the separation of powers. We told you the survey that was done last week. The majority of Americans don't know the freedoms of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
The left wishes to get rid of they want to limit free speech. They want to limit freedom of religion. They want to get rid of the Second Amendment. They want to get rid of the Electoral College. Now they're promoting getting rid of the presidency, which we find very, very unique. We wonder if they'll have a favorite candidate for 2020 from the Democrat side. But there's if you ever want a sense of lawlessness, that's where you have it right here. You know, the sanctuary cities that we believe that illegal immigrant criminals and their freedom is more important than the security and the life and the safety of American citizens. The whole open borders policy, open borders, let anybody in. As we've been telling you, that's what they really want on the left in this country.
Yep.
They want open borders. And so when you look at this, it's the continuation of the narrative of lawlessness. We're okay with the FBI not following policies. In fact, we adore Peter Strzok. He is now our new idol. He is our new martyr. Why? Because he let his rage and his hate of a particular candidate dictate what he did in an investigation. He broke one of the most sacred rules as an investigator, but we don't care. He did it against a candidate we hate. So we're okay if law enforcement doesn't follow the rules and regulations, even though we claim we're outraged when law enforcement does wrong. We're actually not upset as long as they don't follow the rules and regulations against who we view as our political enemies. That's what comes out of that whole fundraiser for him.
Oh, yeah.
On GoFundMe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because they see him as a hero.
They support lawlessness.
Yep.
If it's lawlessness that helps their side.
Yep.
That's where the left has become in this. No surprise, but it's just important that we point it out. Mm-hmm. All right, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Most analysts expected that Friday's USDA crop report would project a little more soybean production compared to July expectations.
Well, we got a lot more.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Seth Meyer, and indeed USDA, is projecting potential yields 3 bushels more than expected at 51.6 bushels an acre, 2.5 more than this past season, which would produce a record 4.6 billion bushel crop, 4.4% bigger than this last season. So where are all these extra beans going to go?
The current tariff situation makes it a bit tricky in thinking about how do you think that this stuff flows.
But with tariffs in place and potentially a lot bigger crop, Meyer says
a big chunk of it's going to end up in stocks.
The tariffs could keep exports of this developing crop 50 million bushels below the current season.
And that's part of the reason why you see our U.S. soybean carryout stock rise so much.
An 82% rise from this past season to a record 785 million bushels.
And that's pushing prices down. So our new midpoint price at $8.90.
45 cents less than the average for this past season's crop. Gary Crawford, U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. One of the other things that we talked about on the show tonight was the survey that was done showing more Democrats believe that socialism works in capitalism. And we went through the specifics of whether they actually believe in socialism because it was never defined. They were never asked to define what socialism were. They were just asked socialism versus capitalism. And I just want to address, we had a call that didn't wait, and I wanted to get to him because somebody who apparently was saying we need to have socialism because capitalism in a democracy doesn't work. There is no middle class anymore. That the middle class is shrinking. Well, you're right. The middle class since 1979 has shrunk. Why? Because the upper middle class has skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. The upper middle class has expanded from about 12% of the population. The last survey that was done was the Urban Institute. It did this back in, looked at all the figures back in 2016, and what they had was up to 2014. But in 1979, about 12% of the population were in the upper middle class. Now, 30% of Americans in the upper middle class. Yes, the middle class has shrunk, but so has the lower middle class, and the poor to near poor class has also shrunk. So they've all shrunk. Why? Because the upper middle class has expanded so drastically. It's not that the middle class is shrinking because they're going into poverty level, just the opposite. If you look at the Urban Institute, Wall Street Journal covered this here in the past couple of weeks. The Urban Institute looking at all the government statistics out there. It's that the upper middle class went from 12% of the population in 1979. Well, how many people did we have then in the country? It was 150 million, maybe?
Right.
To now, remember, this is 30% of the population in 2014 when we were up around 320 million people. So you think 30% of that working force compared to 12% of that working force, and you see how the economy actually has expanded. But the middle class shrinking is not because people are getting poor. It's because a lot of those people went up into the upper middle class. The upper middle class has grown so large in this country.
Yeah, and I think that's worth pointing out and repeating. Why don't Republicans repeat that more? Why doesn't the president, this goes back to, well, something we mentioned earlier, but we've mentioned before, on what the president should be promoting. Very clearly, especially between now and November, and frankly, keep it going through 2020, point out those positives of exactly what your actions as president, what the effects have been. Lowering regulation, lowering taxes. You are talking about an expansion of wealth. When that happens, everybody benefits. And that's what it comes down to. Promote it. For Omnitrax, here's your forecast.
For the next few days, the potential for heavy rain and flooding concerns continue from portions of the Central Plains into the Mississippi Valley. Heavy rainfall in the Northeast may lead to flooding concerns. Across the West, a persistently hot and dry pattern will lead to elevated to locally critical fire weather conditions to continue. In terms of the heaviest showers today, we'll find those located in the states of Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri, mainly north of I-40. And south of I-70 from Oklahoma City and Topeka over to St. Louis and down to Memphis. In the Northeast, those showers will stay right around the I-81 north and south area and over to Rochester, New York. You'll see some scattered showers on I-10 from New Orleans over to Florida and I-95 Florida up through the Carolinas on and off the wipers today. And there's your Tuesday look at the National Outlook from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
To have the conversation, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. For our friends in Southern California, the story out there about the Mexican radio station.
Yeah.
To apparently broadcast Chinese propaganda into Southern California. Mm. U.S. probes links between buyer of Tijuana Station and China's Phoenix TV.
All right.
A large Spanish-language radio station in Mexico will soon begin broadcasting in Chinese in a deal critics say will bring Beijing propaganda to Chinese Americans through Southern California.
Wow.
You know, I'm thinking of that sort of like North Korea doing that and trying to convince the nice lady who calls us whenever we talk about South or North Korea. And right. She was from South Korea and extremely opinionated. That's almost like North Korea opening up a station and trying to convince Koreans in the United States that North Korea is the way to go.
Well, I mean, It really is. I think that's a fair comparison, because what would be the purpose of it? Well, you know, propaganda. Communists have been, you know, I mean, they practically invented propaganda in this kind of way. You change the message, right, to change the hearts. Well, no, that's why they're here. Unless they're communicating with spies.
But why?
That work in offices on Capitol Hill.
But why couldn't it have been a Russian oligarch who bought it?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for that to happen.
Oligarch radio.
Exactly. All oligarch all the time. And now another 45-minute oligarch suite, commercial free, just for you. But,
where the Russians are attempting to influence the California elections.
Yes, we're the station that cares about oligarchs. Yes. You know,
and by the way, we'd fit in there. Red.
Oh, Red.
Red Eye Radio.
Oh, here we go.
And overnights, it's right. Now, that it's would be. That
different
would be,
kind of Red Eye.
We'd have to go to our match. Hey, there's this huge station that wants to carry us.
Yeah, right.
No. Guys, we don't want to be on that station. Yeah, but they said they love the name Red.
Exactly. Thanks to all of our comrades listening today. Thank you.
Hey, we wouldn't change format at all.
Exactly.
Socialism is great. You know why socialism, communism doesn't work? It's because the right people haven't run it.
You need young people to do it. You know, young people from, you need young bartenders to do it. That's the problem. You don't have enough bartenders in socialism.
You know, if we have more bartenders and drinkers, socialism would go down a lot easier. Well, if everybody got their free bottle of vodka every week.
That's exactly where I was going. You know, actually, the government becomes the bartender, so all your bartender friends are out of jobs, too. Oh, no, wait. They would just have different jobs, and they would be mandatory jobs.
But under the socialist system, remember, to all future bartenders out there, there's no tipping.
Right. Exactly. You cannot tip. Well, you do. You, everything is tipped toward the government.
All right. I want to play this, our audio cut of the day. And it comes from Fox News from last night. And it's just because of the charge that Rudy Giuliani made while being on with Sean Hannity when it comes to the whole Mueller investigation. Now, he did say, and I don't have this, it was a long interview, like 7 minutes long, so we don't have the whole thing here for you. But we had played this portion, we had played another portion earlier that we won't be playing right now. But what he said was he identified a crime. And he said, now, granted, we understand where he's coming from. He's the president's lawyer. But he's still the first person to say this. A lot of people have asked the question, was there any law broken in the presenting of the dossier to the FISA court?
Right.
And he said, yes, it was fraudulent, and Peter Strzok knew it, and others knew it. They knew it was fraudulent and still signed it as being legit. And he said, I've worked in that my entire life. That's an affidavit. You've signed it that you know or believe that all of this is legit. He said, that's perjury right there. We're always looking to identify a crime, and we have always stated we don't know because we haven't seen, and Giuliani hasn't seen the affidavits either. Nobody has.
Right.
So we don't know yet, which is why he wants him released. But that's the charge he's making, which, of course, will get a response from somebody today, will it not?
I would think so. Because those are pretty serious accusations to make.
And then he continued to make the big accusation coming up here in this little audio clip with Sean Hannity.
Seriously, when we talk about Strzok and Comey and McCabe and Page and all these other people in the FBI and the DOJ at the highest levels, do you see crimes?
Oh, absolutely. I just told you one. The perjury on the affidavit. I was telling you about Hillary crimes a year before Comey outlined them all. I'm pretty good at picking out crimes.
How did she get off scot-free in all this?
She got off because it was a fixed investigation, a totally phony fixed investigation.
And she's still be indicted?
Run by Peter Strzok, who then turns around. The dossier is obtained on the day that they dropped the case against Trump, against Hillary. So that case gets dropped, and they have to even up the score.
The next day.
And go after Trump the next day. Now, the reality is, I'm going to tell you, and we don't have the time to go into it, we can do it later. I'm going to tell you who orchestrated. Was the quarterback for all this. It isn't just Strzok. He's a bit of a puppet. Then there's Mueller. He's a puppet. People working for him are, some of them are really.
I have a funny feeling you're about to drop a bomb on me. Go ahead.
The guy running it is Brennan. And he should be in front of a grand jury.
Is Brennan.
Brennan.
Former CIA director.
Brennan took an affidavit, a dossier. That if, unless he's the biggest idiot intelligence agent that ever existed, although he never really did much intelligence work. It's false. You can look at it and laugh at it. He peddled it to Harry Reid.
Immediately.
That led to the request for the investigation. So he takes a false affidavit, a false dossier. He gets the senators involved and a couple of Republican senators, and they demand an investigation. Totally phony investigation. Now, why can't we get an investigation when there are clear facts showing possible violations of the law? Even in the order appointing Mueller, which is completely illegitimate, they don't point out any crime. You have to point out a crime under the independent counsel regulations.
As we have always said, that's always been the reason where we have said that's why a special counsel should not have been appointed. To take the Brennan thing further, as you and I have often said, because a couple of weeks ago, Kimberly Strasser wrote about it in the Wall Street Journal. We talked about it. You know, why is he protesting so much, as if he is invested in this somehow? You see the allegation from Giuliani that he ran the whole thing. I don't know whether he ran the whole thing or just participated in it. I don't know what control he has or influence he had over Comey at that particular time to continue an investigation on it. The one question that we've always had is that I can't think of her name, the former U.N. ambassador.
Samantha Powers.
Samantha Power, yes. Mm-hmm. The fact that Samantha Powers, that it was came to be known that she apparently unmasked, which means she took the surveillance that was done because of the FISA warrant on Carter Page and unmasked and listened to dozens or possibly hundreds, did hundreds of unmaskings where they knew who was involved in these conversations with Carter Page and others whom we don't know about. Well, when she went in front of the House Judiciary Committee, she told Troy Gowdy, Troy Gowdy said it. She said, I didn't do these unmaskings. It wasn't me. Well, then who did it?
Well, and that's it. After Trey Gowdy said that, we really kind of didn't hear anything after that. No kind of follow-up. Because that's also a pretty big piece of the puzzle. If someone was using the credentials of the UN ambassador at the time to unmask hundreds of times, then it would have to be somebody in a very unique position of power. And who would that be? I mean, that really gets into the deep state stuff. So all of the, well, I guess we can call them now usual suspects would come up. And now that you have this allegation and charge by Rudy Giuliani, this accusation of, you know, Brennan being the quarterback for all of this. Not the first to do that. Because Strassel at the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal is not tabloid. This is not something that was, and again, we can go back and we can say, if you've got sources, sometimes you can get burned. You can be wrong, but the point is that these allegations are floated. So either they're true or they're not, and this keeps pointing in the same direction. When you look at the whole Bruce Orr thing, his wife working for a Fusion GPS, that connection there, because he's the associate deputy attorney general at that time, significant, unique position of power. Brennan, Strzok, and this entire push to make what happened, make the Hillary thing go away, and then right after that, make it look like something was up with Donald Trump. You have an identifiable crime with the Hillary email server investigation.
Avoiding the Freedom of Information Act, yep, and the Espionage Act for
right,
putting it,
you right,
know, in.
And still today, after all this time, not one crime has been leaked to the New York Times that says this happened on this day, it was a crime.
No.
And this is why Mueller is in place. No one has even done that. No one has leaked the biggest part of this. One actual criminal event that ties Trump, somebody in his campaign, to working with the Russians to rig, fix, hack the election.
Just very quickly here, did you see the narrative yesterday that was coming out of the left about Omarosa? The fact that, you know, that, and I was reading one story, I believe it was CNN did a story, I can't remember the person who did it, that was saying this shows you the sloppiness of the Trump White House. Mm-hmm. And they talked about going into the Situation Room, there are no screeners. It's all the honor system.
Yeah.
But this shows the sloppiness because the spies, you know, spies will go after anything. You walk in with the cell phone. If you work anywhere in the White House, anything related to anything in the White House, that whatever was in her phone, you know, she walked out of the Situation Room, whatever's in her phone, you have to assume was tapped by foreign agents. And they were just, that article and a few others, just pounding on the carelessness of the White House when it comes to security. And I'm thinking to myself, and nothing on Hillary having a server as Secretary of State in her own house. Was that same passion there?
Right. Who had the greater access in terms of items, classified items? Oh, wait, she didn't know they were classified.
That's right, because she...
And national security.
She didn't have the capability to know what a C meant.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex. the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL premium diesel fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. So they are treating what happened in Great Britain as terrorism?
Yes. The Metropolitan Police's Counterterrorism Command now is investigating an incident. This happened in Westminster a few hours ago. A number of people were injured when a man drove his car basically into the barriers just outside the Houses of Parliament. And at first they weren't commenting, but now they are on their official website. The Metropolitan Police there are saying that it is now being treated or investigated as terrorism. One man was arrested there at the scene, the driver of that vehicle.
No explosives or anything like that being reported,
not that we know
right?
of, and we don't know about the extent or nature of the injuries, although they have said in recent hours that they don't believe any of the injuries of the victims are life-threatening, but we'll follow this throughout the day.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.